Today is Sunday, June 20th, 2021, and this...
It's F anything that's going to make him work a little bit harder. You know, anything that takes him away from his trip to Las Vegas or, you know, whatever he does on his weekends.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 789.
Las Vegas, we are! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Just great. Just great.
That's fabulous.
The new casino opening.
Uh-huh.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And other stuff. Before we get into that, though, let's thank our patrons, because they are beloved. This podcast is listener-supported by our Patreon patrons. We have... some new patrons this week, including Daniel O'Connell, David Hammock, and Kyle and Andrea Guillaume. Welcome.
Thank you. And
thank
welcome.
You. And thank you and welcome. And welcome and thank you. We have, if you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen some 500 poker chips that I had made. Those will be available to some of our patrons very soon. And I will be posting details about that on Patreon sometime this week, and we'll talk about it next week on the podcast, and it will be very exciting. I like them. They turned out nicely.
Yeah, they did.
So...
do they have any monetary value?
They're worth whatever value your heart applies to them.
Okay.
Yes, they can't be exchanged for cash, if that's what you're wondering.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know... emotional attachment, sentimental value. I think that's much higher than any cash value. So, there you go. If you're collecting 500 stuff, it'll be a nice addition to your collection. You can visit patreon.com/500 for all the details on becoming a patron and supporting this podcast, and we'll throw some bonus content your way, and it's a good time. All right, some news this week. Let's start out with, I put these in no particular order. Sometimes I try to have some sort of most important to least important. It's all over the place this week.
Okay.
So let's follow up on something from last week. We mentioned that the buffet at Wynn Las Vegas would be opening on July 1st. We have some more details this week. It will be open from Thursdays through Mondays, like a lot of the buffets that have been reopening, only select days. This one will be open for breakfast, brunch, and dinner, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
You love brunch.
$39 for breakfast, $46 to $49 for brunch, depending on the days.
I'm going to assume Saturday, Sunday for that.
That's correct. They bump it up by $3 on weekends. $65 for dinner. Whew. Them buffets is getting expensive. Nothing new there. Reservations are available on the Wynn website. One of the changes to the buffet is that they have added an Eggs Benedict station. So I believe it's like... it's kind of like the omelet station,
mm-hmm.
but with Eggs Benedict. So they have different...
I would trust Wynn with my Eggs Benedict.
I know we had that call last week about mm-hmm. bad Eggs Benedict. This would probably be a better option.
Am I going to the buffet? No.
No.
But I would trust a Wynn establishment.
Made to order, so you have different mm-hmm. options for what's included in your Eggs Benedict.
Mm.
So if you're like a big fan, if that's your food...
yeah.
This would be the place to go. You could sample every variety that they have of Eggs Benedict, and that could be your meal.
That's a lot of Eggs Benedict.
It'd be weird. But, you know, people fucking heap crab legs on their plate. So,
yeah. You
know, just a stack of different Eggs Benedict variations.
Is it Eggs Benedict's?
Egg Benedict's. Eggs. Eggs Benedict's. I'm not sure what the plural of that is. Anyway, that's available to you at the Wynn Buffet beginning on July 1st. So if you've been waiting for buffets to come back, good luck to you. In some entertainment news, Rod Stewart, much like the Wynn Buffet, is returning to Las Vegas. He has been a longtime resident performer at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace, and he has announced his next batch of shows, October 6th through the 23rd. You can get tickets to Ticketmaster for $50 and up plus fees. So if you've always wanted to see Rod Stewart and you haven't yet,
now's your time.
Now's your time. And I would say, you know, you might want to get on that. I don't know how old Rod is.
How is his voice? Do you know? We've played some clips, haven't we?
I don't think Rod's voice has been great for a while, but I'm told he puts on a very good show.
Okay.
So it's all about the production and the spectacle, and I'm sure it's a fine time.
Will he be changing costumes like Cher?
Maybe. Does he still kick soccer balls out into the crowd?
I don't know.
That was his shtick.
That was his thing.
It was a thing he did for a long time. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Rod Stewart, still alive. Moving along, we've discussed frequently lately, there's a bit of a trend forming with supper clubs in Las Vegas. Rose Rabbit Lie kicked this off. That's closed now, of course. But Mayfair at Bellagio, mm-hmm. a favorite of ours. Delilah is opening at Wynn. And now there's another one coming. This one, however, is a little different. It's not its own venue. So they're doing a supper club within an existing restaurant. And that restaurant is Lavo at Venetian. On Sundays, they are going to have the Soiree Supper Club. I like the name.
Mm-hmm. You like a soiree?
I like a good soiree. I've been known to enjoy a soiree. I don't even know what the definition of soiree is, but it seems like something I'd enjoy.
It's a party.
Can you have a soiree for like one person?
Possibly, depending on the person.
I'd like a soiree for one. And that one is me. All right, Sundays at Venetian's Lavo. You can check this out. So the description I thought I would share so you get an idea of what you're going for. I'm a little concerned about some of this. Mm-hmm. And I like the supper club thing. We've had fun at those that we've gone to, both Rose Rabbit Lie and Mayfair.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm open to this overall concept. This one, there is, however, a wrinkle that makes me a little concerned.
Oh, yeah. I think I understand.
You'll never know what the night holds from the moment you are led to the table by the maitre d'. If he even is who you think he is. See, it's already starting to give me a little bit of that murder mystery vibe.
That audience participation thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Will the busser cleaning your plates be swinging from the chandelier as the evening progresses? Okay. Separation of duties.
Mm-hmm. This gives me strong Bevertainer at Rio vibes.
I don't want the people who are bringing my food or cleaning the tables or any of that. I focus on that task. Be prompt. Be timely. If you've got to fucking do a little dance number in between, it's going to delay my service. So I like having the entertainment.
I like having the service.
Let's have, like I said, separation of responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need the crossover. And that way you do both well. That is my argument. Do you dare?
Will the buster be swinging from the chandelier as they're bringing the plates back?
By asking the question in here, whether or not that's going to happen, it's telling me that is going to happen. We're going to have entertainers and anyway. Do you dare share your secrets with the cigarette girl?
No.
Only one way to find out. Bringing the 1960s New York era to the New York Strip Soiree Supper Club.
To the Las Vegas Strip, not the New York Strip.
The New York Strip. Bring the 1960s New York era to the New York Strip Steak. To the Las Vegas Strip Soiree Supper Club. Is a chic beginning or end to any week. I think I'm going to stick with the, well, we'll see. If the reviews are awesome and people are like, this is the best one yet, then mm-hmm. maybe we would do it. But otherwise, I'm like, well, I want to go to Delilah.
Yeah, I want to return to Mayfair at some point.
Yes. 9 p.m. on Sundays, reservations are available on OpenTable. I have not seen the restaurant menu. I mean, I've seen the Lavo menus up, but I would imagine you would think they would have a separate menu for this thing,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't see that on the website. So that may or may not exist. If anybody goes to this, we would love a review. I'd
yes,
love to hear
would.
If it's any good, if you have a good time, especially if you've been to like Rose Rabbit Lie or been to Mayfair and can compare, contrast. We'd love to hear it. So let us know.
When does this open? Soon?
I believe it's happening now.
Oh.
Now or very soon. I didn't see an exact date. All right. Speaking of restaurants, we've been talking, let's do a whole block of Resorts World News since it's opening on Wednesday. finally, I don't. What year did they start Echelon construction? Like
2008 or something. Yeah,
it's been a long time coming for something. I mean, ever since Stardust got torn down, we've been waiting for something new to be built on the North Strip in that spot, and finally, Resorts World is opening on time and on budget. They would say. I wouldn't. All right. Well, they announced the restaurant lineup a while ago, and we went through that, and it's vast. They have a ton of restaurants there. I think it's like 40 when you
count all the food court stalls and things.
Yeah, food hall stuff. So lots of options there. One was notably absent from the announcement, and they have since made up for that by announcing, indeed, Resorts World will have a steakhouse. Whew, I was a little worried because there's not very many steakhouses on the Las Vegas Strip. They're putting one in Resorts World.
Oh, good.
All right. It is called Carver Steak.
Was that a requirement before they opened?
I think it's a requirement. Yeah, I think so. I think they go before Game and Control.
Mm-hmm.
They make sure that everything is, you know, there's no like mafia tie-ins, anything like that. And then they, okay, give us your steakhouse credentials.
Mm-hmm.
They do a thorough analysis of that. And then they move along. Carver Steak will be specializing in dry-aged steaks, and they're promoting it as the largest steakhouse in Las Vegas. So
they have a meat wheel.
If you love large spaces while consuming meat, apparently this is the one for you, 14,000 square feet. So there you go. Resorts World, I will say, over the last week or two, they've been updating their website often and adding mm-hmm. a ton of information. So previously they had like some basic stuff, like maybe a list of restaurants. They have a webpage for each restaurant now. Some of them have menus. Ooh. Some of them have reservations pages. So, and same thing with their nightlife and their bars and things like that. So mm-hmm. if you've been wondering about details on all the specifics, I would keep an eye on that. Go check it out. It is, again, opening on Wednesday. The opening details have been a little bit vague. They haven't said a lot. I know they're having like a VIP opening and then later on Wednesday at 11 p.m. I'm sorry. I think 6 p.m. is the invited guest thing. 11 p.m. on Wednesday is when they have the public opening. And then it's sort of the proverbial soft opening. The grand opening celebration where they're having Miley Cyrus and some other performers, that is over July 4th weekend, as we discussed previously. I'm not sure if this is a bad omen, but last night there was a fire in their parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
It may or may not have been in a dumpster.
I
saw some references to it. I'm guessing that was a joke, but in a storage area. So, yeah, that happened, but not a big deal. Like, it's not going to delay opening or anything like that. Another aspect of Resorts World that is noteworthy that I want to spend some time on here is their technology. They've been promoting that they are a high-tech resort all along, and they've provided some more details this week.
Do they have USB chargers available everywhere?
That would be wonderful. I love when occasionally you'll sit down at a slot machine and there will be a USB charger. Sometimes at the bar there will be a USB mm-hmm. port. You know, I like that. I would love for that to be everywhere. I want to be able to plug in and recharge everywhere I'm going to sit for more than 5 minutes. So, I don't know. Time will tell. They are making a lot of their techie services available through their mobile app. Obviously, that's kind of the center point. But a lot of times the mobile apps for resorts, you know, it'll be information. Mm-hmm. You can find out when the restaurants are open and closed. You might be able to make a reservation. Usually it'll click through a reservations page that you can get online.
There's already an app for that.
That sort of thing. What is the app for that?
That would be Vegas Mate.
You can't make well, maybe you can. I don't know. I don't want to provide false information.
When
about,
I think of restaurant information, that's where I go.
There you go. Hunter's going to have some updating to do with all these Resorts World restaurants opening next week. So yes, they have all the information on their resort, obviously, but they're adding some additional features that we're not used to seeing on the hotel and casino mobile apps. Specifically, this week they announced a big push toward cashless gambling. They call it gaming. I think that's bullshit. We call it gambling. So the way this works, and I'm curious once it rolls out what the experience will be, but here's how they explain it. You have a digital wallet in the app that you fund by either depositing money through one of the kiosks in the casino or the Players Club desk. And then The other option is you can, and this one is the one where I'm like, I'm going to need this one to play out for a while before I'm comfortable with any of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You can link your bank account, credit and debit card, or PayPal account to your wallet. So you can fund directly from your account. And I would imagine they would have, I imagine they'll have some sort of limit.
Mm-hmm.
But I just,
Well, I'm not linking my bank account, first of all.
No, if something goes wrong and suddenly you're, you know, things can go wrong. I don't know. I'm just, I don't like linking my bank account, especially something, I don't know. I don't like that, but I wish them luck.
Yes.
And then you'll be able to use that to fund your gambling at both table games and machines. So, interesting. Things are going to move a lot more in this direction. So I think, you know, obviously right now we're like, I don't know. But in 5 years, it'll
maybe it'll be like normal. Hey,
remember when we used cash? That was weird. So then when you get to wherever you're playing, the table, the machine, you have a few different options for accessing your digital wallet. You can do it either with your Resorts World Players Club card. You can use a digital version of that, presumably from the app. I don't know if you hold your phone up to it. Like, I don't know exactly how that's going to work. Or you can enter your phone number on the slot machine, and presumably you'll have a PIN number, you know, for verification purposes. So a few different options for doing that. Another thing that they're adding, this one I find interesting, and I'm, in retrospect, I'm like, oh, why hasn't that happened before?
Mm-hmm.
Ticket in, ticket out at tables.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know when you're ready to cash out after playing blackjack or craps, instead of a whole thing where you have to carry chips to the cage, you will get a ticket in, ticket out slip just like you do at a slot machine, which you can then either take to the cage or to a redemption machine, or you can pop it into a slot machine and play it or go to a different table with it. And same thing, if you cash out from a slot machine, you can take that to a table and play. So for as long as we've had ticket in, ticket out on machines, I'm surprised it's taken this long to add that technology to the tables.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that one. I think that will create some ease and efficiency for the player.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the casinos are always doing this shit to save money and avoid having to hire people and things like that. But I, you know, from the player perspective, that one seems like it makes good sense too. What else? I would imagine we'll, like I said, we'll be seeing a lot of other properties moving in this type of direction. So it'll be fun to watch how Resorts World's use of this develops and how they fine tune it. And they're kind of the test case. I mean, I think there's bits and pieces of this that exist elsewhere. I know we've had stories about that we've discussed about some availability of funds through an app at the tables and that sort of thing. But this is much more all in on the cashless concept. I have heard some things about some of the other companies on the strip starting to move in the direction of like not doing hand pays at machines, where it will be loaded on your loyalty card and then you take it to the cashier to cash out. How the tax forms work with that, I don't know.
Yes.
I imagine that, you know, they can automate that too, so you get the form when you cash in at the cage or something. I don't know, but
they'll find a way to get your form to you.
Yeah, for sure. But they're working on a lot of these things, and steps are already being taken to move in that direction at some of the other properties. So everybody will be watching Resorts World's use of this to see how it plays out.
I'm curious who like the early adopters of the technology will be in the holdouts.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's hard to say.
There are certain properties downtown that are not going to jump right on this, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it'll take a while for everyone to adopt versions of this. That'll take a decade, probably.
The Binion, for example.
Yeah. So there you go. That's one of the big aspects, a couple of the big aspects of the tech push at Resorts World. One of the things, and I mentioned this when we did our live stream chat a couple weeks ago for our Patreon folks. One of the things I'm really curious about that we'll get some answers on when Resorts World opens this week, in some of the lead up over the last several months, and we've discussed it here, Scott Sabella, who is the, I don't know if it's president or CEO of Resorts World, in interviews has said, you know, they're not real retail heavy, but they're much more focused on attractions.
Yeah.
But there have been no announcements regarding attractions.
No, and none.
So I don't know if when he says attractions, he's thinking in the broad sense, like our restaurant lineup is an attraction. Our pool is an attraction.
Our technology is an attraction.
Yeah, I don't, but I, the way that he discussed it, where it's like, we're going to have attractions for all ages. It made me think that like they're going to have things like, well, attractions in the general sense, you think of things like the Eiffel Tower at Paris mm-hmm. that you can go up on, or the volcano at Mirage, or
yeah.
So not necessarily to that scale, but things that bring you in that you want to, you know, see and experience, whether they're paid or not.
Mm-hmm.
But there hasn't really been anything like that. So I know they're going to have like this big 50-foot diameter LED globe display, and that'll be something
mm-hmm.
worth walking by and looking at, but I don't know. So we'll yeah. see what they say when it opens. We'll see what the reviews say. If there's, oh, hey, we found these all these cool things that you want to come and see. I don't know.
Find the surprises.
So far, they will be surprises. But I'm hoping that there's something there and it wasn't all just, you know, nonsensical lip service as sometimes happens with these things. So there you go. All right. Let's talk about some restaurants. At MGM Grand, two of the upscale restaurants that have become very popular at that property are reopening in July. Joël Robuchon is opening on July 1st, and its sister restaurant, L'Atelier, is reopening on July 15th. For now, they're just going to be serving dinner on Thursdays through Mondays. Hopefully, we'll be seeing more weekday restaurants, you know, more restaurants opening 7 days a week. But for now, weekends at those two, and those are much beloved, so I think a lot of people are happy to see those coming back. Speaking of attractions, there's one that we spoke about a while ago called Immersive Van Gogh.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the one that...
Are people even excited about this now?
No, nobody gives a shit. there were a couple different Van Gogh exhibits. One of them was a temporary thing at Area 15. And then there's this one, which was announced first, but opening later. Immersive Van Gogh is... It was supposed to open on July 1st. That has been delayed. It's now opening July 26th. And this is the one with the mystery venue. And they're doing this in cities all over the United States and probably beyond. They don't announce the venue until the last minute for mm-hmm. whatever reason. Like, that's supposed to be part of the... I don't understand why. They have announced a venue now for this thing, and it is at Crystals Mall, adjacent to Aria, at a venue that isn't really a thing. They just created it for this. It's called Lighthouse Las Vegas, and I believe Lighthouse is the company that is the traveling company that puts on these Van Gogh exhibits. But they're describing it as on the third level at Crystals. But the third level at Crystals doesn't really have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if this is in that little space where they have...
The monorail?
Well, it's on the way up to the monorail.
Or the tram, I mean.
Yeah.
The monorail.
It's on the way up to the tram that goes to Aria and wherever the...
Yeah.
Bellagio. There's a little room that has an art display, mm-hmm. and it's not the main ACOB exhibit that's in whatever retail store at Crystals, that kind of pseudo-secret thing. But this, you can just walk in and look around, and it's like the room is purple.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that big, but I think... That's on the third level. That's the only thing that I'm aware of that is there.
Hmm.
Unless there's some other space that they're converting or something. I don't know, but I don't know. Huh. Anyway, if anybody goes to Immersive Van Gogh, let us know about it. July 26th. Tickets are available. I think tickets are kind of expensive, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not for me. If it were for me, I'd probably go to it here in Minneapolis.
Right.
They're having it somewhere here, too. I'm not sure where. All right. Another show note, Cirque shows have been reopening or are on the verge of reopening, and they've announced another date. The Michael Jackson One show at Mandalay Bay is opening on August 19th. So if you've been waiting for that one, it is coming back. There you go. They will continue to announce shows as they are ready to. Marilyn, the new musical, which is not a Cirque show, remains on summer hiatus, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Some information about a bar that has been around at Mirage for a long time that was a little surprising this week. Rum Bar, that is closing permanently on July 25th. They're going to be converting it to an Ultra Lounge opening in the winter. I like lounge versus ultra lounge. Lounges are more welcoming, a little more casual. Ultra lounges, a little more uptight, a little more expensive, and you might have to be wearing specific shoes to get in. So, I don't know. Another thing related to ultra lounges, and this is unconfirmed, but there have been some reports that, I know right now Parasol Up at Wynn is closed for remodeling, but the reports, unofficial, unconfirmed, so they may not be accurate, but supposedly that's being converted into an ultra lounge too, which kind of bums me out because I like that space. I like that. I don't want them to change that. I mean, it's fine that they change it, but I would rather it be just
a lounge.
A lounge. What it was,
that admits everyone.
Yes, welcoming. So there you go. And, I mean, backing this theory, they have removed all references to Parasol Up from the Wynn website. So that tells me, there's probably something to that. So there you go. We'll keep an eye on that. And once the new venues are announced, we'll certainly discuss them here. As happens on occasion, we have some listener calls, and I would be happy to bring them to you if you're interested. Would you like to hear from our listeners today?
Sure.
One of these calls is one of my favorite calls in a long time. So I'll just set that up.
Okay.
They're all wonderful in their own unique way.
But there's one in particular.
There's one that just when I was getting these ready, I was very happy. All right, so let's start things off. We've been hearing from him. We heard from him last week. Let's start off with Chris.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. Chris from Santa Cruz calling. Quick tech comment. So two things. One is I like the automated elevator cores, the ones that they have like at the D and Circa, way more efficient. Just really like that. Thing I don't like is the prevalence of menus that are really QR codes that you have to then use your phone to look at the menu. Hate that. Hate. I much prefer having paper. I understand why they did the QR code thing for COVID protocols, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it's going to be here to stay. And that makes me incredibly sad because trying to stare at a menu on a little tiny phone with my old man eyes is just super annoying. Anyway, bye.
I agree.
Yeah. John Taffer would disagree. Every episode
of... Sorry. That's my visceral reaction to John Taffer now. I used to love Bar Rescue, and I'm still watching it because they're doing
Vegas
episodes.
That's just one more thing he's yelling about.
I'm like, that guy's fucking blowhard. I have no time for Taffer anymore, although I will continue to watch the Vegas episodes. I'm just like... I know he's an expert on bars and stuff, but some of his theories are nonsense. Anyway... I hope they bring back regular menus, and part of it is, it's especially if you're in a nicer, maybe darker restaurant. Sometimes it's hard, even on the screen. Sometimes it's hard to see. But and again, yes, I am old and wear bifocals, and my eyes are not the greatest.
Same.
But I like when I have a menu. I like to be able to scan the entire menu. I like to see everything at once. And when you're looking on a little phone screen, it's very hard to see much, you know, beyond one or two items at a time.
So would you prefer the laminated menu that can be wiped off, or would you prefer a paper menu that can be discarded?
I don't care. Just give me something I can hold in my hands and look at. And
you want a tactile experience.
I want the large... Where was it that we had the giant Schitt's Creek menus? Remember that?
Yes.
We were somewhere, it was Mayfair.
Yeah.
The comically large menu that... Like, why is it this big? We need to find something a little more efficient than that, but a little bit easier to look at than a phone screen. So there you go. Thank you for that call, Chris. We appreciate your thoughts on that. I, too, like the automated elevators. I have found those to be very nice and efficient, and I am often on elevators alone as a result of that because of the way that it works. And yes, those are good. All right, next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. Kyle and Andrea from Denver. Long-time listeners. Very infrequent callers, though. Haven't been out here for a couple of years. We're here to celebrate my son's 21st birthday. And not to make you feel old or anything, but he's been listening to 500 since he was in elementary school. And I was just quizzing him to see if he could remember to sing any of the old songs, and he's laughing. I don't think he's going to do it. So we're doing shots at Whiskey Liquor and just having a really good time. Love the podcast. Thank you guys for everything you do. Got no trip report because all we do is the stuff that you talk about on the show. So. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. We'll hear more from Kyle a little bit later. Happy birthday to your son. Sounds
Hope
like you're having a good time. Hope it was a wonderful trip. All right.
I just remember running into them on...
I was going to say, we've met them.
Yeah.
A couple times, I think.
Yes, but it's always been joyous.
Yes.
When we run into them.
I have, you know, my memory's not the greatest, but when I was listening, I'm like, I 75% sure that I think they're at one of our events, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I have some memory. All right. Next up.
Hey, Michelle. Mike Simon's calling again. Moved to the Strip 3 days, 2 nights. First time at Planet Hollywood. Got upgraded to some kind of mini suite, which is actually a really great room. I posted, some of you saw, probably might have seen my dirty window time lapse that I posted to the Facebook group. But anyway, just wanted to call about Planet Hollywood. Great room park. I was baffled by this place because this casino was so packed. Like, it didn't matter what time of the day it was, but at the same time, this casino is completely unplayable. $25, there's no blackjack that's less than $25, and everything is 6-5. Fake bonus poker everywhere. 6-5 jacks are better. I guess if you're a slot player, maybe, but table games or video poker, forget about it. Drink service, almost non-existent. Went over to Cosmo, hung out there quite a bit. Block 16 is totally my jam. I like Patty B. I like Patty B so much, I went there a second day. I tried the whiskey lemonade, pimento mac and cheese, delicious. Again, chandelier bar. The cocktail service all throughout the casino at Cosmo was great. Nice, big, sized, you know, goblets of booze. It was great. Made it down to Bugsy and Myers. Kind of hard to get a dinner reservation at the last second on a Wednesday. So walked down the old Dirty Bird, gave Bugsy and Myers a try. The service was fantastic. The food was fantastic. But what the fuck is up with the wicker patio furniture? Is it a flamingo thing? I don't know. But yeah, they really need to do something with that. But I would actually consider giving that steakhouse a try if anybody's looking to try one. I was pleasantly surprised with the service and the food. Finest of the decor. I think that's about it. Real quick. I just found on you. Little downtown note was, I don't know if this was brought up or not, but Votto Cigars, if you're an asshole like me, let's have a cigar every once in a while playing video poker, they're no more. They're not in Binion's anymore. I reached out to Paul Votto on Twitter, Radio Silence. So I don't know if this was talked about. If I can think of anything else, I'll call back. Otherwise, I'll load the podcast. See you guys.
All right. Thanks for that update. That is news to me. A lot of listeners like Votto Cigars, mm-hmm. So that's going to be a disappointment for a lot of folks. Bugsy and Myers has been getting great reviews. So of the...
There have been a couple not so great reviews, but...
Were there a couple bad ones?
Yeah.
Okay. I stand corrected. They've been getting mixed reviews.
That might have been somebody in person saying that. I don't know if it made it on the show, but...
Yeah. I have an aversion to wicker furniture.
Yes.
So I agree with...
That's Flamingo's way of reminding you that you're still at Flamingo,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Nice place, wicker furniture.
Yeah.
Thank you for those updates. Much appreciated. And something else I will mention, because we do get the question a lot on the Facebook group. People are wondering about table game limits and things like that. Mm-hmm. I want to give a plug, and I've mentioned it before, but VegasAdvantage.com, they do a really good job of periodically doing reports on gambling conditions, table limits and rules and things like that. So I highly recommend checking out that website if you are interested in such things. And they update it a couple times a year at least, so worth checking out. There's a lot of hand-wringing over low-limit tables being gone, mm-hmm. and whether or not they'll ever come back. So, I don't know. We shall see. Moving along to our next caller.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Dave. I called about the Ellis Island and the monorail last week. I forgot to mention that I stayed at the M Resort for 2 nights last week. And I know you don't usually deal with resorts outside of the main Las Vegas quarter, but I have to say the M Resort was fantastic. For the price, the room is better than any room I've stayed at on the strip. Clean, comfortable, modern. The casino itself has this fantastic policy of no smoking at the tables. So, if anyone wants to take a puff, they have to step away, and it really does keep the air over the tables a lot cleaner and more pleasant. The minimums, by the way, are fantastic. I played $10 pie gal for about 4 hours one night, and I must have had about $2,000 worth of free drinks as I sat there and wound up at the end of the time, only losing about $15. The drinks were strong and frequent, and served in real cocktail glasses, not plastic like downtown, and not those skinny little strip-style glasses, real get-them-at-the-bar cocktail glasses, which was a nice perk. It was just a terrific resort. I would say equal to or better than anything downtown. Maybe Circa notwithstanding, but with the crowds and the minimums at Circa, I'd actually give the M Resort the advantage. Also, the restaurant variety is terrific. The pool is beautiful. And it's just a much more relaxing experience than anything you'll find downtown or on the Strip. All right. Just haven't heard anyone talk about M Resort, maybe ever. Looking forward to the next podcast. Take care. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that review.
Yeah, we don't hear a lot about M Resort.
No, it's been a while. And I'm glad you had a great time because mm-hmm. I have...
I think we went there like 10 years ago.
when it first opened, we went there. Yeah. I think we had the buffet. And
yes, we did.
But there have been... I've read several, let's say, mixed reviews that it's kind of gone downhill since in recent years. So I'm happy he had a good experience there. Mm-hmm. That's great. All right. And that also goes to show everybody has different, you know, mm-hmm. different experiences and different... It depends what your expectations are. Depends what you like. All those things factor in. So sometimes I see people online almost... on the place I'm not going to mention because it drives me nuts.
It's one of those weeks.
Almost like apologetic, like, oh, I know a lot of people like this, but I didn't like it. And it's like, oh, that's okay. Fine. It's not everything appeals to the same
everybody.
People for
yeah.
the same reason. And the stuff that we like, well, I don't expect everybody to like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody goes somewhere because something we've spoken highly of, I'm always happy that they had a good time there. But if somebody doesn't like it, that's, you know, it's understandable. Mm-hmm. Not everybody digs the same stuff.
Are you a little bummed when people don't like it when you...
Well, I'm bummed if, like, a little bit just because, like, if they specifically went because they heard us talk mm-hmm. it up and then they didn't have a good time there. I'm like, oh, I'm bummed that they...
use their vacation time on something.
Yeah. But yeah. There's nothing we can do about it. That's just the nature of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I certainly am not bummed because they have a different opinion of it than me.
Oh, yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for sharing that review. We do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's check in with Chris again.
Michelle, Tim, Chris from Santa Cruz calling. This is a drunk dial. This is a whatever. yes, drunk. Anyway, calling you about Meow Wolf. Went there today, and I have a couple of unique perspectives to Meow Wolf. One is... they are overselling the venue, I think, in my opinion, for how you can best enjoy it properly. I went with a buddy of mine. We got 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Opening show, and it was good for about the first hour, and then it just got way too busy, and it was just way too crowded after that. And I think it really kind of detracts from the experience if you can't experience it in your own time frame without being rushed and not feeling like you can't just walk up to the station and explore things. So if you're gonna do Meow Wolf, do it first thing in the morning, and just don't even bother going unless it's like some other non-busy time. It was really super packed when we left it at noon, and that really distracted. Did go see Meow Wolf at Santa Fe in Arizona, so I have some contextual comparisons to give you. The Vegas one, I think both tried to be too fancy and too dumb. I know that makes no sense, but one is there is some storyline stuff that I wish that they would have told you up front, and then just it's not conducive to large crowds. And it was clear that they had drunken idiot proofed at the venue a little bit, which is good because, you know, Vegas. But the original in Santa Fe, I think, was far superior, and that's all. I'll probably call with something else, and I'm drunk call. Yeah. All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report. Appreciate that, and the context. Having seen mm-hmm. another location,
I could see where if it were super crowded, I wouldn't enjoy it because a lot of the exhibits, like you want to go up and, like, depending on how much you want to get into it, like having it be crowded would really.
It would be a drag.
Yeah.
Very much. For
like you want to open a drawer of something or type on a computer terminal that they have or whatever.
For some clarity, because I know there's been some confusion on this venue. So Area 15 is the overall entertainment venue.
Yes.
Off strip. They have a bunch of different things. They've got, you know, like a dart place and a, I don't know, golf simulator. A whole bunch of stuff.
And some restaurants and bars.
Yep. Within that is Omega Mart, which is operated by Meow Wolf.
Yes.
So if you hear Meow Wolf and Omega Mart, those are interchangeable. And Meow Wolf has a couple other locations, I think. I know Santa Fe is the original. I think there's another one opening somewhere else. But anyway, so that's, I just so that there's understanding, because I know some people have not understood it completely. Area 15 is free to get in, but the exhibits, a lot of the exhibits within, like Omega Mart and some of the others, charge. So check out the Area 15 website and you'll understand it all quite clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or like if you're in the grocery store and you want to read the labels and be that person who's like taking up a long time to look at every item.
We need to do some of that at Omega Mart just to enjoy it. I mean, that's some of the stuff. Again, we're being kind of vague because there's a surprise element to this place and we don't want to give too much away.
Yep.
All right. A couple more calls. Check in with Kyle.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. Kyle, a Coulter calling back. He's getting some drinks and reminiscing about 500. He's got a song he's got to sing for you. First off, the Harmony. Okay. Bars.com. FreeMonthlyBars.com. FreeMonthlyBars.com. He knew it. He remembered it from when he was a kid. We're actually going to go down and enjoy the free money. Yeah, we also realized that the word twat waffle and ass hat he learned from you guys, as well as why Ed Hardy shirts aren't cool. So just reminiscing. Again, love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
They're cool now. No, not really.
No.
They'll never be cool. Wow. I hope he turned out okay. Seems like he did, but I take no responsibility for anything. Mm-hmm. That was your choice to let them listen to this nonsense. Thank you for the calls. We do appreciate it. One more call. This is the one that I'm waiting to hear again because I enjoyed it so much the first time. I think you're going to like this.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Michael and Francesca, and you're in for a double treat. We are going to, or actually, Francesca is going to translate for your Spanish-speaking group. We are hoping to review 27, and I think this being the first review for 27 is to qualify us for the 500 Hall of Fame.
Hey, that's not a thing.
But anyway, full disclosure, I am a Kurt Cobain fan. And basically, the reason I was interested in the show was because they're adding that it's not a tribute show, that it's a retrospective. So that got me curious. And I'll go ahead and translate, please.
Pensábamos que el espectáculo iba a ser una retrospectiva, pero en realidad terminó siendo el shit show.
And I have a lot of great memories about the Hard Rock, the many great shows, and what I noticed when I got there was the floor was kind of like a gymnasium, removable seats, and for the first time in my life, waiting for the show to start, I listened to Michael Bolton's Soul Provider, because otherwise I would have turned it off. Translate, please.
Yeah, estábamos escuchando Michael Bolton, y la verdad es que todo pareció un shit show.
So I was curious about the fact that they call it a retrospective, and I am a Kurt Cobain fan, so we were there, and spoiler alert, basically a retrospective means that they have a slideshow where they repeat the same slides over and over and over.
Tenía muchas fotografías que estaba mostrando una y otra vez, pero en realidad era un shit show.
So, again, spoiler alert, just so your fans who may be like myself, where you're only interested in Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, what also interests me about the show is at the very end, they advertise this song that they all perform together. The song is Sweet Home Chicago. And if you can imagine like a We Are the World type of rendition where Kurt Cobain does a grunge version of Sweet Home Chicago,
La última canción fue Sweet Home Chicago, y la verdad es que nuevamente parecía un shit show.
So if that's something that appeals to you, because personally when I saw that, I thought for sure Kurt Cobain was rolling in his grave, assuming, you know, if he wasn't cremated. But so there you go. I think I just saved your audience $75, which, by the way, I paid full price for. Translate, please.
Pagamos $75 por ese shit show.
So as the accolades come in over the fact that I saved your fans so much money, I do believe that I could probably start working on my 500 Hall of
Fame.
That's
not a thing. That's not a thing.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That was awesome.
Oh, that was a wonderful call. Thank you for that so much. So, that, yes, that was our first review of 27, the show at Virgin. And I think that might be our first bilingual call. We had a translation. I loved that. Yes. I love that. Thank you. And thank you, Francesca, for doing my job and making it clear that the 500 Hall of Fame is not a thing. If it were, that call might be in there. But it's not. All right. That's a good one to end on. Thank you all for your calls. If you'd like to call our voicemail line, we would love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. We have a few karma donations this week. Mike has an upcoming trip, July 8th through the 11th. First time staying at Bellagio. Loves the podcast and said, we are the best.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. You're the best for supporting the podcast. We appreciate that. Jonathan, first trip since 2017 this week.
Oh, wow.
Woo, that's a long run. Glad you're able to go back. Hope it's an amazing time. And finally, Monica and Leo, a karma donation for next week's trip to Las Vegas to see Resorts World. They'll be listening to us on their drive. So they might be in the car right now. Be very careful. Don't do anything unsafe in the car. If you need to pull over and have a good laugh at that last call, well, it's too late now. You already heard it. Anyway, thank you very much for your support. We appreciate it. Yes, hope you have an amazing trip. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Resorts World if you got them. As always, you can visit the website at 500bymidnight.com. If you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, you can send them to 500@gmail.com. And, of course, that voicemail line again, 702-866-9494. Until our next show, we hope you have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.